And welcome one and all to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. First, our condolences to the family of Jim Gregory. He passed away at the age of 83. If you're a longtime NHL fan, he's just always been around, right? I mean, he was the longtime general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs and kind of worked around the NHL. You'd always see him around the Hall of Fame. Just a really good guy, good for the game, and he's certainly going to be missed. And there were well wishes during the Heritage Classic on Saturday that he was watching and that he was ill. And so not overly surprised of his passing, but still it's not good for the game to see somebody of that ilk no longer with us. So our condolences go out to him. Games last night. I was at the Ranger game. Lightning lose to the Rangers 4-1. We'll start with the Rangers. We'll start with the good. Seven players in the lineup for the Rangers that were 21 or younger. So when you want to lose patience with the Rangers, you got to realize there's a lot there. There's a lot of good young players that are coming up, and then Hedl gets called up to replace Zibanejad, who missed the game with the upper body injury, scores what proved to be the game-winning goal. You saw Lindgren get an assist, his first point of the year, playing in his first game with the Rangers this season after playing five last year on the blue line. And, of course, Kako gets a power play goal. It was kind of fluky, but he put himself in the right position, had a heck of a shot. Juicy rebound goes off of Colbert into the net. So these guys are contributing. They're playing well at times. Kako's still trying to find his way a bit, but he's still with the club. Howden, you kind of forget about him. Fox gets his first National Hockey League goal. Those guys are contributing. So, listen, you go out and get Panarin. You have Zibanejad. You have some veterans on this team, so the feeling is it's time for them to turn the corner. But when you have that many young guys in the lineup, it just shows you that the future is pretty bright for this team. And the goaltending was also very good as Georgiev picks up the win. Goaltending has not been the problem for the Rangers this year. The problem has been consistent scoring. And they outshot the Lightning. They outscored the Lightning. They were the better team last night. Now, the Lightning are 5-4-2, so technically they've lost more games than they've won. I wouldn't be overly panicked about it, but this is not the same team that we saw just run roughshod over the league in the regular season last year. I'd be a little concerned with their blue line. Shattenkirk's a great scorer, but not the greatest of defenders. I think he'd be the first to admit that. Colburn looks a little slow to me. Didn't see a lot of Kucherov and Stamkos. Honestly, outside of the first goal and the only goal that Tampa scored, point I thought was good considering the fact he was almost a scratch in the game. So I think a lot of good came out of the Ranger game for the Rangers. And the Lightning, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be a playoff team. And we discussed it time and time again. It probably behooves them not to be flirting with the President's Trophy. Kind of just float around, find your game, and then just hit the ground running in the postseason. I still think that's a very, very dangerous team. You got to be careful, though, because you look at teams like Buffalo, better than they were last year in that division. Montreal might be a little bit better than they were last year in that division. Certainly Florida could be a playoff team after not being one last year. So you mess around, you might find yourself with a wild card, you might find yourself with home ice disadvantage, and you might find yourself on the outside looking in. I think there's just too much talent there for it not to rise to the top. But right now, October has not been kind to the Lightning at all. Good win for Carolina over the Calgary Flames, 2-1. Of course, all the talk in this one, Svechnikov's lacrosse goal. And it's outstanding. He scored both goals for Carolina. They hold on, they win. But what I found surprising about that goal, you're starting to see it more and more. I remember, and I'm sure somebody on Twitter will remind me, there was somebody that did it in Michigan about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And it was all over the news. It was all over the highlight shows. And Brendan Shanahan said at the time, and he was playing in the NHL, I think he might have been a Ranger at the time. If not, he was certainly a Red Wing. He said, that'll never happen in the NHL. We wouldn't allow it to happen. First of all, you don't have the space to do it. And second of all, that kind of show-off move is not going to be received kindly. And, suggesting that basically you might have to pay the piper if you tried to show somebody up like that. Well, you know what? First of all, there's a lot more room in the NHL than there was before, certainly when Brendan Shanahan played. And also, I don't think the game is like that anymore. You're not going to get redemption for moves like that. I think the league is encouraging that type of play. I think players are excited about playing that type of game. So maybe we'll see that move more often than not. It just takes a tremendous amount of hand-eye coordination. Yes, it takes a lot of patience, and it takes having some ability to be able to maneuver with the puck with some room. And all those goals always seem to happen behind the net because that's where you get that room. And when you have a player of his ilk, you don't want to chase him out from the back because then he'll come out front and score on you. So clearly he had some room, but just a great individual effort for a really good, solid performance by the Carolina Hurricanes, who beat Calgary. And again, Calgary kind of in a malaise. They blew the lead in the Heritage Classic, you know, lose that game. Not the greatest of road trips. They did have a nice win against Florida before the Heritage Classic, but certainly not the team that they were last year, and maybe a little bit of a concern in what is a wide open Western Conference. Other games I thought of note last night, as there was a slew of them, the Bruins 5-1 win over the Sharks. The Bruins are beginning to look to me like the Lightning did last year. Remember, as EJ said the last time we did a podcast on Monday, this team should have won the Stanley Cup. They had a home ice advantage in Game 7. So they're the best team in the league to me. The goaltending is outstanding. Their blue line is tremendous. And Pasternak has just been unbelievable. That top line is just so scary. You know, Marchand and Pasternak just continue to score. Pasternak now with 12 goals on the season, the most in the NHL. Boston is just tremendous. And San Jose right now is just not a very good team. And you put them up against the best team in the National Hockey League, like we saw the Rangers on Sunday, it's very difficult to compete. Washington gets the overtime win over Toronto. Matthews with a couple of goals, including the game, the goal early in the third period that gave Toronto the 3-2 lead. But Ovechkin gets two. 10 and 11, including the 11th in overtime. Ovechkin, 669 goals in his National Hockey League career. Tell me this guy's not scoring 800. I mean, he's not that old. He should be able to play another 4 or 5 years at this level. He's almost a lock for 50 goals the way the game is played right now. I mean, he is going to – could he challenge Gretzky at 891? I mean, obviously he's going to have to stay healthy and want to play probably deep into his 30s, maybe 40 to do that. But 800 goals, I think, certainly is on the table. And John Carlson just continues – to just be outrageous for the Capitals, and they don't give out Norris trophies in October, but if they did, he'd clearly be the guy. 23 points, 7 goals, 16 assists. He has just been unreal for the Washington Capitals, who again put up 40-plus shots on goal. There's a problem in Philly, and this isn't a Carter Hart problem because Brian Elliott made the start, but the Penguins just slap around the Flyers 7-1, 4 unanswered goals in the first period, 6 unanswered goals altogether. This is a bit of a disappointment to me. And when you look at the coaching, you've got Alain Vigneault, you got Michel Therrien. I mean, that is a world-class coaching duo behind the bench. They thought they had the goaltending, but just too many guys are having off years. Van Riemsdyk, Gaz Despair, Gaudreau. They just haven't been able to get things going for Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh just continues to dominate, putting up a touchdown. Edmonton kind of reeling a little bit. They lose to the Red Wings by the final score of 3-2. The usual suspects for Detroit in this one, including Larkin, who gets his 4th of the year. Draisaitl, the only goal. He now has 10 on the season. How about the Predators? 51 shots on goal in the Blackhawks as the defense for Chicago continues to be a problem. They just didn't have the puck in this game. The Blackhawks, you know, outshot by 31. 51-20, and the Predators win at home. They're now 6-1-1 at home. I'm going to get a chance to see them live on Saturday when I call the Rangers-Predators game. The Stars come back, double up the Wild, 6-0 with 6 unanswered goals for the Dallas Stars. You know, I was watching this game early. Zucker is 4th, Stahl is 4th, Ryan Suter gets his 2nd at 14:26 of the second period. So the Wild, who are starting to play better, had a 3-0 lead against the Dallas team that's really still trying to find its way. And then a late goal by Radulov makes it 3-1. And in the third period, just 5 unanswered goals. Radulov had a couple of more, so he finishes with the hat trick. Pavelski gets his 3rd. Sagan gets his 3rd. Boy, do the Stars have to get him going. So that's just a really tough loss for the Wild, who, again, mustered just 22 shots on goal. I don't know what is going to happen there with the Wild. You just wonder, with another general manager being replaced in Minnesota, with Bruce Boudreau still being the head coach, how much longer can that last? And, you know, the Ducks beat the Jets 7-4. Gibson played well. He faced 40 shots in this game. Thought Winnipeg was going to steal this one. They got a goal early in the third period by Brian Little to make it 5-4 after they climbed back from a 5-3 deficit. But they just could not get it going from there as Rowney ends up picking up the last two goals of the game, including the empty netter with 3 seconds to go, as the Ducks continue to play well. And now a 7-4 win over the Winnipeg Jets, who have officially dipped under 500 at 6-7 on the year. So things not going very well for Winnipeg. So we'll keep an eye on them. Paul Maurice, we talked about it before they made the run to the conference final. That was a coach I thought that was on the hook. And then they went to the conference final and all was well. Bounced in the first round the next year. This year off to a very sluggish start. You know, he's been a great coach in this league. He's bounced around over 700 career wins. He's been very good for Winnipeg. But you just wonder if time is beginning to run out a bit. We got a Wednesday full of games here, which is great. And we've got the Devils back to work, having have not played since, what, last Friday, it feels like. A 2-5-2 Devil team going against the Lightning team playing the second of back-to-backs. So that could be a tough spot for New Jersey because the Lightning have to start playing better. At 7:30, Oilers and the Blue Jackets in Columbus. Oilers in the second of back-to-backs. Again, the Wild, the second of back-to-backs. They'll be in the Blues at the Blues. Avalanche and the Panthers as the Panthers continue this road trip. Canucks and Kings and the Canadiens and the Coyotes rounding out the scoreboard. Let's get to you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag Game is Conduct is always the way to be able to get in touch with me. So let's start it off with Ozzy, who says, so I'm really only one not at all surprised by the fact that Dallas isn't the freight train they were hyped to be. Some outlets had them in the final. Well, Ozzy, I'm guilty. I thought Dallas would go to the final. I did. I love the Pavelski pickup. I love their goaltending. I thought Sagan and Ben at the second half of the season would really click. That has not been the case. So, Ozzy, you're right. I mean, you saw it. I didn't. I still think it's very early. I think, but Dallas is beginning to dig themselves a hole here. You just wonder if they're going to be able to get out of it. And I constantly hear about, well, St. Louis this, St. Louis that. Last year was an aberration. You play this poorly this long, you're going to dig yourself a hole you're not going to be able to get out of. I don't care what the Blues did last year. So, Ozzy, you turned out to be right, but I'm one of those guys. I really thought Dallas would be better. And I'm wrong. Calvin says, shouldn't you mean concerns in San Jose? I tweeted out about concerns with some of the teams in the NHL, like Tampa, like Philadelphia. And you're right. San Jose's been concerned as well. If you were in charge for a week, what would you do, Don, to change this team around? It's hard to say. I mean, the goaltending has not been good. Do they have the goaltending to get this done? It was in question last year. It's certainly in question this year. Marlowe's contributed. Thornton's getting older, certainly. You lose Pavelski, but, you know, Logan Couture's called the team out. I will say this, and I hate to do it because I like him. But, you know, this has kind of been the resume of Pete DeBoer. You know, he did it in Florida, did it in New Jersey, now doing it in San Jose. He's a guy that will get a lot out of a team early, but is the message starting to get lost? Is it time to start looking at a possible coaching change with San Jose? And it sounds crazy because they did bounce back last year after a tough start, go to the conference final. But much like what's happening with Dallas, you dig yourself a hole you might not get out of. And could DeBoer survive? And would they want to, with not a lot to do with the roster, is it possible that they can maybe make a move like St. Louis did last year, firing a coach? And, you know, Pete DeBoer, I like him. He's a very good coach with a nice resume, but we've kind of seen this act before, kind of like Laviolette too. Good coach, but there's an expiration date on these guys. And is it happening with Pete DeBoer here? Jake says, Evander Kane's antics are getting quite old. Another cheap shot last night to McAvoy. Definitely needs to be suspended. Well, he was suspended already, if you remember, at the beginning of the season for a slash against Vegas during the preseason. He is a great talent, and my God, if he ever got suspended. I mean, this is the one player the Sharks can't afford to lose. But you're right, he definitely plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's got to contain himself. But you just wonder the frustration level right now in San Jose is a bubbling over the top here for them. Forever TH says, a few years in, time to ask, who would you take for the next decade, Nico Hischier or Nolan Patrick? It's a great question. It's as good a question, Forever TH, as it was the night of the draft, because both of them have been hurt. Both of them are probably underachieved scoring-wise. Both are playing for underachieving teams. I don't know. I always go center, but I don't know. I really don't know. I have not seen enough of either of the two of them to be able to determine that. Phillip says, Philip Hedl looked like an absolute beast last night, and the Rangers probably played their best game so far. But man, oh man, Georgiev is outstanding. Is it time to give him the starting role over Hank? And no, I'm not a Hank hater. He's my favorite player. Also, even though Adam Fox just has one goal and one assist, he's been so good. His puck handling and skating is so impressive. What's the ceiling for this guy? Well, the ceiling's very good. I mean, that's why they went out and acquired him. And David Quinn said it after the game. He's deserved a better fate as far as points are concerned. He has been outstanding, and I've called 7 of the Rangers 10 games, and I've said his name a lot. He's getting a lot of ice time, and he's played well. Hey, the Rangers are not married to Lundqvist beyond next year, and they've got good young goaltending, and Alexander Georgiev is right there. So has Lundqvist played poorly? No, but let the better goaltender play. And with the time off here, it'll be an interesting decision on who plays against Nashville. Is it going to be the old standby and Hank going up against a really good team on the road like Nashville when you've got Ottawa on Monday? You know, traditionally it would be Hank on Saturday afternoon against the better team, and Georgiev would go up against Ottawa. I'm not sure. Georgiev maybe deserves to be rewarded for the way he played last night. Now, he didn't face a ton of shots. I think he faced 30 shots in the game, made 29 saves, but some of them were real bell-ringer opportunities, especially when that game was in doubt. The final score was 4-1, but it was 1-1 in the third period. And I think one of the reasons that it was 1-1 and the Rangers weren't trailing was the play of Alexander Georgiev. And Hedl was really good. And David Quinn said it before the game, too. If he plays in Hartford, he plays with the Rangers the way he's played in Hartford, he's going to stick. And I have a feeling he is going to stick. Now, Elias Anderson's a guy I'd be concerned about. He's been stuck on the fourth lines, not getting a ton of minutes, and isn't producing at all. Michael says, did David Quinn now have a better vision of how these young players will succeed with certain players on certain lines? I think he's starting to see that. I think Buchnevich is better served on the third line. I do. Now, when Zibanejad comes back, they'll be shuffling again, but I think he's starting to get a feel for it. I think when Zibanejad comes back, and that might be Saturday, how do you send Hedl back down? And I don't want to move him to wing. I think he should play center. That's why I say that right now the target has to be on Anderson's back as far as being a fourth line center or not being on this team at this particular point. And Zach says, how do the Rangers go about sustaining that level of play we saw last night for the rest of the season? Well, it's very difficult to play consistently. I mean, it's a young team. I talked to Chris Kreider after the game. Kreider was very, had a very interesting comment. He's like, sometimes we get a little full of ourselves, you know, and they felt really good about themselves against Buffalo, and then you saw what happened against Boston. I think this team has to stay humble. I think this team can't buy too much in to a great performance. They're going to have a great test coming up against Nashville. Kreider said he likes the fact that they've got a little bit of a delay before they play on Saturday afternoon, a chance to practice, to work on some things. Finding that consistency is the curse of a young team. And they've also had the Jekyll and Hyde start, a lot of days off. They will get a more consistent schedule as we enter November, which ironically is going to be the next time they play on November 2nd. I think you're going to start seeing some more consistency and some good things coming from this team. And it doesn't always have to be about wins. It's about playing well. All right, you lose in Nashville. Hey, it seems like everybody does in Nashville this year. But don't get blown out 7-4. Go out there, work hard. If you lose a 3-2 game in a shootout, lose a 3-1 game with an empty netter, and you feel good about the way you played and you got opportunities, you got shots on goal, something that David Quinn's been preaching about, then maybe you can feel good and build off of it. But don't go out there and get crushed by Nashville and have this seesaw start to the season. It's just not going to work out. So keep an eye on them. So we got a lot of games to go over. So we'll be back with you again tomorrow. Digest all the games and do what we normally do. At Don LaGranca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Always the way to be able to get in touch with me. And I see a lot of guys at the Garden, talk to a lot of people on Twitter. You guys seem to really like what's happening with the show. I really appreciate the feedback. If there's anything else that I can do, guest suggestions. Leah Hextall is somebody that I had a conversation with the other day. Works up in Canada, out of Winnipeg, and of course has a great family history with her dad who played golf for the Philadelphia Flyers, a grandfather won a Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers. She's going to be a guest next week. I'm going to make her contributor to Game Misconduct. We had a great conversation yesterday. She loves hockey. She does a great job up north and wants to kind of branch out here into the state. So we're definitely going to do that. But any feedback, even negative feedback, what you like done differently, I would love to hear from you guys at Don LaGreca. Make sure you do the hashtag Game Misconduct so I can find it through all of my tweets that I have during the course of the day on the Michael Kay Show. So got a bunch of games to recap tomorrow. Back with you again on Thursday. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.